tell you the story.
Councillors? May we, the Council of the Town of Bassendean, being mindful of the Code of Conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously, and for the greater good of the town. Apologies if it's hard to understand my voice at some stages this evening. I'm having a bit of trouble speaking. Before we commence, though, it's really important for us as a town to always acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and that our town was founded on the land of the Whadjuk Noongar people. And I think it's a real privilege that we here as a council are able to continue on the work of caring for this land and this area that has been done for so many generations so well by the Noongar people that have gone before us and continue to contribute today. Now, tonight, the first thing on the agenda is a really lovely task that I have, and it's to welcome some special people here this evening and to for someone to receive a Sports Achievement Award on the behalf of the Town of Bassendean. So we all know that sport and recreation plays a really important part in our community, and it contributes to the well-being of our community members, both their physical, mental and emotional health. And we're really committed to encouraging as many people as possible to contribute and to take part. So this evening, the recipient is Scott Crawford, and I just had a lovely opportunity to have a chat with Scott and his parents, Peter and June. He has been successful in gaining state representation in his sport, which is football. And he was just telling me about his trip that he was... that he went on to Tasmania and played in the, what was the carnival called? In the National Inclusion Carnival for AFL. So it was hosted in Launceston and it was for players with an intellectual disability. And Scott told me that he could have done better. And then when I questioned him further, he went on to tell me that his team won the grand final. So I'm not sure how he could have possibly done better than that, but that's a fantastic achievement, Scott. And it sounds like you had a great time rolling in the snow with your T-shirt off and all sorts of other wonderful experiences as well. So we're really pleased that you were able to represent not only Western Australia but the town of Bassendean at that carnival. And we're very privileged to have you in our community and hope that in the future you are going to be able to continue to contribute and be an ambassador for the town of Bassendean. So congratulations on behalf of the town. I'd like to invite you to come up and receive your award. Before we continue, I just would like to remind everybody that our council meetings are recorded and live streamed on the internet, so anything that's said in the meeting by councillors, staff or members of the public is available online for people to access, and we're doing this in an effort to increase the ability of our community to access the decisions of council and help us engage better with the people who our decisions affect. So next on the agenda is item 2, which is public question time. This is the opportunity for members of the public to ask questions of myself and the staff. If you would like to ask a question, can I encourage you to raise your hand and I'll invite you to come to the microphone to address council. Is there anybody who would like to ask a question? Yes.
Madam Mayor and councillors, I'll preface my question with a short statement if I can.
Sure.
Name and address, please.
Name and address. Clive Brown, 2 Surrey Street at Bassendean. And I am pleased to be here tonight with members of the Bassendean Community Men's Shed. And the council has before it tonight a very important decision in relation to the establishment of a men's shed in Bassendean. As many councillors, in fact all councillors, would be aware, and certainly council officers would be aware, this is a project that has been 11 years in the making and a very important project. You would be aware that recent health studies have identified a critical issue in relation to men's health. And some of those health studies have shown that men's health is affected by, and particularly elder men's health is affected by, isolation, loneliness and depression, which is now becoming a major issue in Australia. That the health system is failing to cope with these issues, and that there is an inability for the health services to engage with men who are ignoring health issues. And there is little evidence that health services are addressing the issues affecting baby boomers, and there is insufficient attention being paid to preventive activities in relation to men's health. And the gap in Indigenous men's health is too big and needs urgent attention. All of these things are addressed in a form by men's sheds, because they bring together men in the community who are able to socialise, who are able to interrelate and are able to talk about a range of issues, including health issues. This is an important issue for men, all men of all ages, but particularly elder men in the Bazandine community, as it is in all communities. And the men's shed movement around Australia is the fastest growing social movement across Australia because of the demand for these services and this interaction. I would like to, before getting to my question, I would like to extend a thanks to the councillors, past and present, for showing an active interest in the establishment of a men's shed in Bazandine, and particularly to thank all of the councillors for all of the time they have spent in considering this matter, the latest of which was an inspection last night at the proposed site for the Bazandine men's shed. I think there is little else that I need to say by way of introduction, and the only question I would ask, which I may not be able to be asked by the Mayor or indeed all councillors until the end of the council meeting, is, but the big question for the men's shed, the Bazandine Community Men's Shed Incorporated, is the importance of the council making a decision this evening. This has been 11 years we've been waiting, and our question is the council going to make a decision tonight?
Thank you for your time, Clive, Mr. Brown. As you alluded to, I can't answer that question because the decision will be made by council, but I think everybody on council is aware that this project has been going for a long time and that the men of the men's shed are very keen for there to be progress on this soon. So I'm sure that will be taken into consideration by councillors when we come to this item later in the evening. Thank you very much. Mr. Veal?
Yes, Ian Veal, 33 Bassendean Parade. Just a short question. It's got to do with the question that I asked at the last council meeting and the information that's in the minutes in relationship to that, where it says that it's got to do with the Swan Helena flood study, and it says the director of the community development advised that the flood study, that's the EMRC flood study, will be released in the next 2 weeks. The Department of Water will be officially using the maps as of the 1st of September 2018. The question is, I wonder if you could tell me what the update situation is with that, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you for your question, and I'm very interested in the update as well. Do we have an update?
Unfortunately, there is no update to provide. I have not received anything from the Department of Water or through from the EMRC. It has been promised, but at this time it has not been received.
Could we please contact them and get an updated time frame from them, for Mr. Beale?
I certainly shall.
If you wouldn't mind, but from the meeting's point of view there, there's some chit-chat at the fact that the EMRC expect it to be completed and posted out to all river councils on the 27th of August. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's today or it's tomorrow or whatever it is.
That was yesterday.
And I think the chit-chat is that the there won't be any maps at this point of time included in that report, So there'll be a delay in inclusion of all those maps, which probably is a very important part of the report.
I guess we can just wait and see what they provide to us and take it from there.
I wonder if you could write me a letter if you do get any response to that.
Mr. Haggett, can
you? Yes, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Beale. Okay, further questions? Mr. Kay?
Thank you, Your Worship. Bruce Kay, 11 Earls Ferry Court, Bassendean. My question relates to item 10.8 on tonight's agenda, which is the Bassendean Men's Shed. My question relates particularly to an estimate that's included in one of the options, that is the relocation of the stormwater drain. I've been unable in viewing the minutes or the attachment to determine what is or isn't included in that stormwater drain. So I'm concerned about the accuracy of that estimate as it is included one of the options and may guide a decision.
Now, Mr. Kay, you sent me an email last week and there were a couple of things you specified in there about the drain. Are you able to articulate what they were that you were particularly concerned about?
Yes, Your Worship, I can. Many years ago, I worked for a consulting engineering company and I was the design engineer and the superintendent for the Bassendean Tonkin Park works. We got highly involved in dealing and constructing stormwater drainage systems into the groundwater, which as we got deeper got highly acidic. We took various measures to achieve a 75-year design life on the drainage, which was what was agreed as the design criteria. That included coating some of the drains internally and externally with coal tar epoxy, increasing concrete foundations, importing alkaline sands from Alcoa to act as a neutraliser, wrapping things in plastic, using high-strength pipes and other things. All of these things, and on top of that, dewatering was a particular difficulty for us. First of all, we couldn't discharge the water off-site into the river because of its acidity. And we also had a lot of trouble with the dewatering. We had to convert all our systems to plastic and rubber-lined pumps to get any life out of them.
Mm-hmm. So just back to your question.
So my question is, in option one, there's an estimate of $53,000.
Yep.
As a ratepayer, if that estimate isn't correct and it's perhaps twice that figure, do we in the town end up picking up the bill or has it become part of the cost? So what is included technically in the estimate? And perhaps what I didn't say to you in my email, because I don't like frightening people, but we had a particular foreman on the job. Perhaps I could say he was a bit dubious. And he connected a drainage pipe under May Holman Drive. And 12 months later, the bandage he'd put on the pipe to join the pipes was eaten out and there was a hole about this diameter in the road. So I'm very conscious that there is some real concerns there that we need to be careful about. Yeah. I don't mind which option is adopted for the men's shed. I don't mind if the pipe's relocated. All I'd like to see is that the estimate for its relocation is realistic.
Okay, thank you. And I'm not sure if there's an answer that we can give to that at the moment. Are you aware of what the drainage quote included?
I think it's probably best if we do take it on notice and to provide that to you directly at another time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Your Worship. I'm happy to talk further with council staff if that helps.
Okay, thank you very much. Further questions? Okay, in that case we'll move on to item 2.2, which is addresses by members of the public. So if there's anyone who would like to address council specifically on an agenda item, now is your opportunity. So once again, if you raise your hand and I'll call you in turn to the microphone. Ms. Siddell.
Carol Seidel, 55 Broadway, Bassendean. I hope I'm correct here, but I understand there is an application for a convenience petrol station to be...
Yes, so that's not actually on the agenda of tonight's meeting.
Well, yep. I'd just like to make an observation. It's really interesting that people like 7-Eleven are actually setting up service stations right near schools. You have a...
Mr. Siddell?
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to say is, I'll just give three examples and then I'll run back to my...
Okay, I'll give you 1 minute because it should be okay. Something on the agenda, that's all.
So Morley High...
Can I just explain? Council has not had this issue come before us yet, so councillors have not had a chance to consider this and the staff have not prepared their report on it for us at this stage.
Okay. So I should come back another day?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding. Is there anybody else who would like to address council on an agenda item that we are considering this evening?
Do you have petitions this evening?
We have a section on here where we can receive petitions. Yep. But that's at item 7. We're only at item 2 at the moment. Okay. Any further? Okay, so let's move on then to item 3, which is attendances, apologies and applications for leaves of absence. So we've got apologies this evening from CEO Bob Jarvis and also from Councillor Gangell. And we've also had two requests for leave of absence from Councillor Mikichuk for the 1st to the 16th of September and Councillor Brown, I've written Gangell, I don't know why, the 4th to the 18th of September. Is that correct? Is there anybody else who requires a leave of absence in the next month?
Yes, Your Worship. Request a leave of absence for tomorrow and Thursday.
Okay, so the 29th, tomorrow? Okay. 29th and 30th of August. Okay, so do we have a mover for the leave of absence to accept the leave? Councillor Quinton, a seconder? Councillor Wilson, anyone against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Item 4, deputations. We have none that I've had requests for. Item 5, confirmation of the minutes. So item 5.1, do we have a mover to confirm, that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting from July be received? Councillor Mikichuk has moved. Seconder? I will second it, Councillor Plennan. All those in favour, that's passed unanimously. 5.1B, that they are an accurate record. A mover, please. Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour, that's passed unanimously. Okay, item 6, announcements. A few things I wanted to bring people's attention to. So earlier in the year, back in April, Council passed a resolution addressing the old Eden Hill Shopping Centre site and requesting that the owners of that site prepare a concept plan for Council to consider within 3 months. That would have meant that it should have been on the agenda for this meeting. The owners of the site have only provided the concept plan this week, so it will be coming to the September meeting. Is that correct, Mr. Reid?
It would normally be reviewed by officers first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's in the form suitable to come, then it would come.
Yeah. Also, at the last council meeting, we spoke about there being a community information session put on by the state government departments involved in the Ashfield Flats restoration project. So that was held on Monday the 30th of July. There was representatives from the WAPC and the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage in attendance. It was a really well-attended session, and as many of you would know, there was a concept plan that was originally put forward. And in response to that, the town communicated that it was really important to us for our community to have the opportunity to have input rather than plans just coming to us. They've really taken that on board, and now they've instead allocated funds to conduct a hydrology study in advance of doing any works down there. That is anticipated to take 18 to 24 months. And there's not, there aren't works anticipated prior to that hydrology study being completed and community consultation being completed. Finally, tomorrow night at 7 p.m, there is an opportunity for community members to come and attend a community workshop that is looking at how we can better engage with our community and improve our communication and engagement strategies. So if that's something that's of interest to you, that's at 7 o'clock downstairs here. I think that's everything. So moving on to item 7, I believe we may have a petition. Ms. Easton?
Bev Johnson's meant to do it, but she's just checking out. And I don't like public speaking, so this is a petition against the proposed. My name is Caroline Easton, 81A West Road, Bassendean, the house with the rainbow gate. This petition against the proposed.
Can I ask you sorry.
Against the proposed playground on the Ashfield Flats Reserve. It has been referred to as the Sandy Beach Reserve Nature Playground, which is actually misleading because it wasn't either on Sandy Beach Reserve or a nature playground. These people that have signed this petition have got about 285 signatures, which is more than double the survey that was taken by the town of Bassendean. It's signed by many people who own dogs, many people who have children, many people who have both, and many people who have neither. But all of them love nature, and they want that part of nature left for future generations, but also in its own right. I think that's about all I'm going to say. And I know it's on the agenda tonight, and they are proposing to move the location, but as many people that were... One person surveyed Whitfield Street, and people within 400 metres of that location weren't even aware of that proposal. So there wasn't very good community consultation. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. And now
we will receive the petition.
Yep.
So I think the minute clerk just needs to see that. So do we have a mover to receive the petition? Councillor Hamilton? Yes. And seconder? Councillor Brown? All those in favour? So that's received. Oh, sorry, Councillor Quinton's against.
Sorry, who moved
that? Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you.
It's just receiving it. You're not making a comment on it. It's just that we have received a petition. Councillor Hamilton and Councillor Brown seconded.
Thank you.
And Councillor Quinton voted against. So can we just have the actual petition read out with the request?
We support a regional... We, the undersigned, formally petition the town of Bassendean to address the following. We support a regional nature-based playground, but not on the proposed location south of Sandy Beach Reserve in the river floodway, which requires fill. Respectfully request council to consider other more central locations.
And do you want to give an indication of the number of petitions?
We generally will assess the number of petitions and the addresses.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Save the camera.
Okay, Councillor Mikichuk.
Yeah, just regarding questions on the petition, is that better addressed when the item comes up, or
Who are you directing the questions at? There's not really an opportunity if there was a deputation, you can ask questions.
Sure,
but at this point, there's not.
We just received.
Yeah, I'll wait for the item. Thanks.
Okay, everybody. Happy to move on? Okay, so item 8, declarations of interest. I have a proximity interest in item 10.3, which is the Anzac Terrace cul-de-sac parking, because my property is adjacent to that location. Are there any other declarations of interest? Okay. Item 9, business deferred. There is none. Item 10, this is reports. So going through the items that we are going to remove from en bloc, I have 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, 10.6, 10.7, 10.8, 10.9, 10.11, 10.12, 10.13, 10.14, 10.21, 10.23, 11.1, 11.2, 13.1. Are there any other items councillors would like to have removed from en bloc? Okay, in that case, can I have a mover for the remainder of the items to be carried en bloc? Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. So item 10.2, the red pillar box. Councillor Hamilton, did you have something you wish to...
yes, through the mayor.
at the briefing sessions, I flagged the potential for a community member to perhaps represent at the Heritage Council meeting. That community member, I've been in contact with him today. He's quite happy to represent. I've sent a copy of the email to our mayor. It's simply a matter of what process you require for this community member to take part in that meeting. I'm assuming the officers would need to contact him and provide the details of the meeting.
So, Councillor Hamilton, are you wanting to move item 10.2 and instead of appointing a councillor at point 3, appoint the community member, who I believe is Mr. Jerry Coleman, for this Heritage Council meeting?
Yes, specifically because he was the gentleman who instigated the heritage listing of this particular letterbox.
Okay, thank you. So we've got a mover. Is there a seconder?
No, I have a question.
Sorry, Councillor McChain. Yes.
Yep. I just seem to remember at the briefings there was a comment regarding councillor, regarding if it was appropriate for a community member to attend. I just can't remember what the outcome was.
Page 7 in the...
It's actually addressed by a comment in the report. No, that's fine.
Yep.
On the advice of the Heritage Council, there's nothing to prevent somebody other than a council officer or a councillor attending the committee.
Yeah, and that is what prompted Councillor Hamilton, I believe, to then go and speak to Mr. Coleman. Okay, so are there any other questions? So we've got a mover at the moment. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson. Anybody against? All those in favour? And that is passed unanimously. Thank you. Councillor Brown, I need you to come and take over, please.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 10.3, Anzac Terrace cul-de-sac parking. Do we have any questions?
Not a question, an amendment.
An amendment?
Yeah.
Yes, we could hear your amendment. Thank you, Councillor McGee.
Okay. I'd like to just suggest a minor amendment. So the wording as is, but it would read, the council approves the installation of no parking. Road line marking in the cul-de-sac signage at the cul-de-sac located at the eastern end of Anzac Terrace, Bassendean. So the proposal is to have line marking on the road rather than signage.
Do we have any questions relative to that?
Yeah, can we get the officer to remind us of the answer of that last time when we asked that question at the briefing session last week?
Just to clarify, yes, there was this question was asked. It was put forward the alternative whether we have markings on the road or we maintain the signage.
They do the same thing. You're going to have one or the other, you can't have both.
Yeah.
So if we go down that track.
You can't have
both.
We can't have both.
Yep. Line marking.
My proposal is not for both.
Okay.
Can I ask officer an additional question? My memory of that road is it dips down and it's not a very well lit cul-de-sac, so if there was cars parked there you wouldn't really see the line markings at all. So if they ignore the line markings you're not going to see them. Would that be about right? You might see the signs better. I'm trying to ascertain which will be visually more available for people to see. I suppose that's just a perspective, isn't
it? Depending on the night, I suppose whether you can see the signs in darker areas, I'm not too sure. I'm not familiar with that area at night time. So
I think my memory is lots of trees, so there's lots of leaves, so that's why I'm thinking perhaps line markings might not be visual enough, but I'm not entirely sure what with the area.
Just a question, Councillor Wojcik, is it for aesthetic reasons?
No, namely because I found in my experience that it has been more effective because signage has a break between it. Sometimes there are signs but people don't see it, or they say, I parked in a spot where there was a break. And I found in my experience that because the line marking is continuous and visual, there is no break in the message and that it is being quite effective. So that was my reason for moving the motion. And I think also there's a case to be made that visually maybe there's not something aesthetically upright cluttering the view, but it appears on the road as other line marking does. So that was my thoughts behind it.
Okay, so as a minor amendment, is there any other anybody opposed to the change?
I think it has
a strong opposition to it.
I think we go if there's a seconder.
We need to get a seconder.
Yeah, and then go to debate or not. Is there anyone to second?
Okay, we'll put the officer recommendation. All in favour of the officer recommendation? Do we move the officer recommendation? Do we have a move for the officer recommendation? The officer recommendation lapses. The minor amendment will now be included, and that minor amendment reads that the upright signs be replaced by road markings.
Well, yeah, the upright signs aren't specified, but would you like me to read out the wording, Amy?
I have it.
You have it? Okay.
You want me to read it out?
Yes, please.
The council approves the installation of no parking line marking in the cul-de-sac located at the eastern end of Anzac Terrace, Bassendean.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All in favour of that?
We need someone to second it.
We have a mover. Do we have a seconder? All in favour? Let's pass unanimously. Let's bring back somebody who knows what they're doing.
Nailed it, Bob.
Do you listen?
I took it so that I wish.
Okay, so item 10.4, the vandalism of the street verge tree on West Road. I just have a query for the staff. So we've spoken about updating our street tree vandalism awareness sign. Do we have an indication of when we're likely to get a draft and a final version of the new sign?
It has been drafted, updated already. We have been in touch with the local police to see if that process can be put in place, and they said they will take that on and they will record it and give us a number. Whether they investigate the tree, depending on their workload at the time.
I think
we will be going down that process and amending and including that part.
I appreciate your answer, but that's actually an answer to a question I had later. This was about the sign itself.
Oh.
That we put up where a tree has been vandalised, and we've talked about doing a new sign with different wording on it that reflects the new policy that we're looking at. So my question was around if we have any idea about when we'll be able to get the new signs. The reason I'm asking is because if that time frame is short, then it would be maybe worthwhile waiting to have an updated sign rather than installing one of the old signs.
Yep. We have done preliminary work on it, but we're still waiting to find the last bits, so... At this stage, we're not ready to go with it.
And but what kind of timeline would
we could probably look at within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's very helpful. Councillor Hamilton?
Can I ask through the Chair a question of the officer? We did speak about, again, change of wording on the sign, simplifying the wording, but my question is, will that wording include reward offered? Not necessarily a numerical number, because we discussed that, but, you know, just reward offered for...
Yeah, we'll be putting reward on this side.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Councillor Wilson?
So the reporting to the health of the tree, that was done back in February. I was just wondering if you can give an update on the health of the tree since it was vandalised.
A number of the branches of the tree are starting to regrowth again, and it's coming back to a fairly stable area. So over the period of time, our arborist believes it'll come back to a good condition, what it was in the past.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, I would be happy to move the officer recommendation with a slight amendment. So on point two, which currently reads, approves the installation of a vandalism awareness sign, I would propose to alter that to say approves the installation of the updated vandalism awareness sign and otherwise move the motion as written. So Councillor Mukachuk is seconding that. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. Moving on to item 10.6, this is the waiving of fees for the Bassendean for free Christmas swap meet event. Are there questions?
I did draft an alternative motion to the officer's recommendation, if only because whenever this group wish to have a venue for free, it comes back before council. So that's the only reason I've drafted an alternative motion, to save the officer's time in preparing a report and bringing this back all the time. So if anyone wants me to read it out.
Yes, please.
Okay. So that council authorises staff to offer a 50% discount once per financial year for one only venue hire if a written request is made by the Bassendean for Free group in advance of the required booking date, and that the date does not conflict with other paid bookings, but that the prescribed key bond of $50 as well as the venue bond be charged as per standard hire practices. Two, requests that should the Bassendean for Free group make additional venue hire bookings in any financial year, that a discount of 10% be applied to the relevant hire rate. And three, notes that point one and two only relate to hire venues owned and operated by the Town of Bassendean, and where any aforementioned discounts or partial waiver of fees apply to the Bassendean for Free group, these are non-transferable and may not be accumulated from one financial year to the next. That's
it. Right, are there questions about the foreshadowed motion, alternative motion? I have a query for the staff in regards to the number of requests that we get, because it seems like this is Councillor Hamilton's alternative motion is quite specific, and whether there is any standard policy in place at this point in time and how you deal with these requests normally.
There's no delegated authority to negotiate fees with officers, so every time we receive a request for a waiver or for the fees to be amended for a hire of facility, it comes to council. This is the second time this group has sought to use a facility in the town, or of the town. It is a new group. It was anticipated that they would only hold one event in the year. They have come back for a second time. What that translates to next year, I'm uncertain.
And just to clarify, they have already approached the town and had fees waived for the hire of a venue this financial year once already.
This calendar year.
This calendar year, yes. My apologies. Are there further questions?
So if I could just seek clarification. So at the moment, the staff recommendation is that we waive the $113.50.
Mm-hmm.
So your 50% is 50% of that?
Well, whatever in a year's time, if the fee's gone up, it would be 50% of whatever the fee is at any particular time. So it's not going to be static, because if the fees go up,
sure,
then it would be 50% of the updated fees. In other words, what I'm trying to do is create a process where the staff can automatically deal with this, and that revenue is still generated, but it's limited to a very strict sense of time and what can and can't be given. I'm not sure how other councillors feel about that.
Councillor Brown has a question, I believe.
Yes, thank you for the chair. A question: are there any other groups that avail themselves of this? My concern is it's a little bit specific. Are there any other groups that we need to apply the same rationale to?
Council has in the past considered and provided free use of facilities for Red Cross. So all activities of the Red Cross in the town's infrastructure is at no cost. And I believe there has been one other group, and its name doesn't spring to mind immediately. Those arrangements were put in place more than a decade ago, though, probably two decades ago.
Thank you.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton has foreshadowed a motion. Let's just test the officer recommendation first. So do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, seconded by Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? Councillor Mikichuk. Okay, Councillor Quinton, would you like to open debate?
We are a giving and generous community, and I think there's there is a strong sense that we're a community that have facilities, have opportunities to bring our community together. We are in a culture where we are trying to reduce our waste, and this group are only doing good things. They are only being generous, and they only are trying to reduce waste into landfill. And to penalise them, I think, would be disingenuous of the generosity of our community. It's only $100, $113.50. The second part of the motion moves to for us to enact a policy around this. So it's not like we're losing anything out of giving them a space for a couple of hours. We know that it's going to connect people, bring them together, and swap and trade things that are languishing in people's houses. So let's continue to be a generous community. Let's continue to divert stuff from landfill and make these kinds of things as less bureaucratic, with as less red tape as possible, so that these kind of things can continue as freely in our community.
Councillor Wilson?
I waive my right to speak.
Anyone who'd like to speak against? Councillor Hamilton, you go first.
What? Yes, go first. My concern is that there are other groups who create events, do events, and manage to do that without requesting the use of facilities for free. Our facilities are ageing. We have limited resources. We have limited income. My alternative motion was not penalising. It was simply offering discount, but it was not penalising. I agree, Councillor Quinton, that yes, anything diverted from landfill is good. I actually agree with that. However, given that the next event they want to do is in November, I don't see any reason why it can't be done in the great outdoors like another alternative group did recently. So there are alternatives. I don't necessarily think that we need to put the hand out and offer things for free. I think that we should indeed be encouraging people to be innovative themselves, and for that reason I believe that we should not be preferencing one group over others. I think that if we start doing this, we need to do this to a whole range of people, and I just don't think that's fair.
Thank you. Any speakers for the motion? Against? Councillor Mikichuk.
Councillor Quinton, I wholeheartedly agree with your sentiment. We are giving and generous, and I wish us to continue to be. I also agree with a diversion from landfill. All those things I agree with. My grounds for objecting are one of equity, so I do not seek to object because I think this particular, because I have an issue with generosity, it's about equity across all groups, and I feel like this is a specific motion that addresses one particular group, and I think what I would be in favour of is something that looks at the second part of the recommendation that just looks at a policy to address all groups as they come to council, so there is a fair and equitable approach should any worthy group come to council. So they are my grounds for objection. I agree with the sentiment of many things you said, and also Councillor Hamilton, your points on equity.
Thank you, Councillor Mikichuk. Okay, so let's put that to the vote. All those in favour? We've got Councillor Wilson and Councillor Quinton. You're in favour. And Councillor Brown, all those against, Councillor McLennan, Mikichuk and Hamilton, and I'll use my casting vote against the motion. Item 10.7. particular reason. Oh, sorry, we've got Councillor Mikichuk's Councillor Hamilton's foreshadowed motion. So she's.
Sorry, may I ask through the chair, if we've voted against the officer's recommendation, do we need to go to my alternative or not?
We need to make a decision on the.
Well, you can, you've moved it, so if you wish to withdraw moving it.
That has no consequences, correct?
No.
Okay, I'll withdraw it.
So moving on to item 10.7, Sandy Beach Reserve Nature Poet Grant.
Can I move an alternate motion, please? There is an alternate that Mayor McLennan has written. I kind of just want to do a bit of a mash-up if I can.
Hold on. So how about we go through what it currently is, and I suspect what you're going to do is correct the bit that I left out about the revocation motion. Is that...
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So do councillors have the alternative that I circulated?
Mm-hmm.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Quinton, but where you were going to propose that what is currently point one is broken into
can
two
I just,
points.
I'll just
read
that
to
you.
Yep.
So one would now become notes the staff comment regarding the Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attractions change in approach to the regional playground on the proposed location, and then continues with the original point one.
Yep. Okay, so just going back a step, does anyone have questions, first of all, for the staff?
I had a question regarding the petition.
Okay, so would you like to... Who are you directing your question to?
I'm not sure who to direct the question to. I felt that maybe there was some ambiguity in the wording of petition. When we've dealt with this matter, when it's come before council, it's very specific in we talk about Kitchener Street and then we talk about Sandy Beach Reserve. And, like, so there's very clear delineation between... what we've been proposing and what we're now thinking about. And I guess I just wish to be clear on the spirit of the petition in that regard, because maybe just reading it another time.
Yeah, so there was some additional information.
For me.
Yep. Yeah, so I'll read what the petition actually said. So we, the undersigned, formally petition the Town of Bassendean to address the following. We support a regional nature-based playground, but not on the proposed location south of Sandy Beach Reserve, which is the confusing bit, because they are inconsistent, in the river floodway, which requires fill. We respectfully request council to consider other more central locations. So am I correct that the confusion lies around the proposed location on Sandy Beach Reserve, which is not what is actually proposed at present?
Yeah.
I'll continue. There's some supporting information. It says... Previous support was for a different location. Previous consultations have referred to Sandy Beach Reserve, giving the impression that it was to be located on Sandy Beach Reserve, owned by Town of Bassendean, not on the southern side of the car park, which is the Ashfield Flats, owned by WAPC.
Mm.
Previous support was for a nature playground, not a regional playground. When it was first mooted in November 2015, was for a nature playground. It was then referred to as a nature-based playground and now regional playground, which is not appropriate to this natural setting. I think there is some confusion around that as well. The current proposed concept plan requires a huge amount of fill, as it's proposed to be built on acid sulphate soils and in the floodway. This type of construction does not comply with the town's policy of building within the floodway. Does that clarify
things? Yes, and thank you so much for reading out the rest of it, because I think that's quite important for being able to consider... thank you.
So was that your only question on
the
petition?
Yes, thank you.
Further questions?
So the definition of the floodway, the existing toilet block that's on Sandy Beach Reserve, would that be within the floodway?
Yes, it is.
So, Mr. Haggard, I believe that you were trying to get in contact today with the representative from Department of Biodiversity, Attractions and Conservation, and you weren't able to speak with him today, but you've had some telephone advice from him. Are you able to share what the discussion is that you've had with this representative?
Thank you. Through the Mayor. The officer has been very obliging and forthcoming and supportive of assisting the town with our planning processes, and that has been in addition to the email correspondences that I have had with him, one of which I believe is in the attachments to the agenda, where he's indicated his support, but also the issues that the department is likely to be mindful of when considering the Part 5 application from the town.
And am I correct in, I believe you said to me that he expressed a preference for the Sandy Beach Reserve location over the Ashfield Flats location?
Yes, I asked him the question on whether it would be the department's preference for the playground to be on Sandy Beach Reserve as opposed to the existing preferred location, and he indicated that would be the department's preferred position.
Councillor, question?
Well, then just to rhetorically ask that question, if we put this application in, they're not going to knock it back?
I can say that the officer from the department has indicated he will work with us during the development process to ensure that whatever is submitted it will not have too many hurdles.
All right, then.
Councillor,
may I ask the officer an additional question? In respect to that process, I'm assuming that the town staff and the state government officers will quite clearly make available to the councillors what can and can't be done on that land, because this is something that will really need to be clarified to us as we go along.
Absolutely. I agree with that entirely.
Right, okay. Councillor Wilson?
So I understand that the Kitchener Road location or the Ashfield Flats location was endorsed by a decision of the previous council in December 2016,
I would have to check my dates, but certainly was with the previous council, yes.
So the second question is, if there was to be any change of location, then that would require a revocation motion to repeal that decision.
That's
of
correct.
The previous council?
Yes.
Any further questions? Councillor Mikichip?
Only to say that I didn't quite catch the subtlety of Councillor Quinton's change to the wording.
So let me clarify. So the alternative that I circulated, there was one word in there where I put the word explores, and she has suggested that changes to endorses.
In point one?
Yes.
Two.
No, in point one.
Yeah.
And then when I wrote the alternative motion, I failed to include the second part of the officer's recommendation, which is the revocation. So of OCM 12.16.1.
So just endorse instead of explore and include the revocation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
for
actually,
clarifying
is that
correct?
No.
Hold on. Can we get the actual motion read out, and then if you have a proposal for a change, we can address that then. And Mr. Costarella is going to read it for me because my voice is struggling. Thank you.
Thank you. The council one notes that staff comment regarding the Department of Biodiversity Conservation and Attractions change in approach to the regional playground on the proposed location. Two, request staff endorse the relocation of the playground to the western aspect of Sandy Beach Reserve, being the alternative site considered by the regional playground working group. 2A, revokes OCM 12.12.16.1, which reads, the council agrees to the nature-based regional playground being located on part lot 646 Kitchener Road. 3, request that staff continue to explore potential locations for the ablution block, toilet options and indicative costings for these facilities, noting council's preference for the playground and toilets to be located on the same side of the street. 4, request staff prepare some schematic site layouts identifying the proposed playground footprint and the location of ancillary infrastructure as a basis for discussion with the DBCA and Council. 5, as a priority, engages in further discussion with the DBCA and any other relevant state government departments in conjunction with Nature Play Solutions to seek their contribution from the outset during any redesign process. 6, supports a scaled-down version of the playground, which minimises fill requirements and which reflects the previous feedback given by the community and council. 7, supports a maximum budget of $1 million, inclusive of both the playground and ancillary infrastructure, dependent upon the confirmation of Lottery West funding and the sale price of the two lots purchased from the state government, 5% of their value for the purpose of funding the playground. And 7, request staff to report back to the September OCM on the above.
Councillor Hamilton. Can I, with your permission, perhaps just suggest a very minor...
Okay, we haven't got a seconder for the motion yet.
Can I
ask
something before?
Yeah.
Sorry, my apologies to be so particular. Was it read out slightly different to what was on here, or did I... an updated version? Because it just
seemed... What are you referring to in say on here? No, it's the same
copy?
Other than endorse and the revocation.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Did you have a question?
I was just going to suggest for what became...
Oh, hold on a second. So I've moved the motion. It's someone, second, Councillor Quinton, seconding. So now you want to propose an amendment.
It's just the one word.
Yeah, that's fine.
6, which became 7,
yep.
Supports a maximum budget of $1 million. Can I suggest supports a maximum budget of up to $1 million? So it's just putting up to in there.
Sure. Okay, so is the seconder happy with that?
Yep.
Yep.
So
Councillor Wilson?
Includes
yeah, oh, sorry, we need a third seconder. Yes, Councillor Wilson is the third seconder. Thank you for that reminder. So I've moved, okay, Councillor Quinton second and Councillor Wilson second.
Third.
Third, yeah.
Third.
Yes, three. So that's three. Okay, so we've had your minor amendment, and you wanted to address something else, I believe, or are you happy?
No,
I'm happy. Looking at Councillor Quinton, sorry.
No.
Oh, okay. All right, is there anybody against the motion? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. So moving on to 10.8, the Bassendine Men's Shed. Are there questions for the staff on this? Councillor Hamilton?
I just wish to notify that I've got a... amendment.
I think it's
I was on the border there. So I don't know if you want me to read it out now or to ask questions first.
Read it out and then people can ask questions.
Okay. That Council 1 receives the draft iteration of the Bassendine Men's Shed business plan provided and attached to the ordinary Council agenda of 28th of August 2018. 2, instructs the CEO to commence processes requesting the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage to reclassify lot 590 May Holman Drive, Bassendine, from public recreation to community purpose, and that the vesting order be amended. 3, agrees the project is financially viable at the May Holman Drive, Bassendine site based on quotes received. And 4, request staff to investigate proposals that facilitate maximum retention of trees and bird habitat at the site in line with the aspirations of the Signed Bassendine Advisory Group as outlined on page 65 of this agenda, with site investigations including but not limited to the following possibilities: A, provision of verge angle parking as a means to reduce the proposed on-site parking footprint; B, to contact appropriate senior water corp management to ascertain if conditional approval may be granted for the town to utilise adjoining unfenced land bounded by Railway Parade and the town's reserve for the purposes of men's sheds car parking. C, revisit proposed plans to assess alternative configurations that reduce the volume of site fill and retaining walls, thereby providing savings for the potential installation of a mezzanine level that offers expanded community uses of the facility. And 5, as a matter of urgency, request staff to organise a councillor workshop with the Bassendine Men's Shed Association Incorporated to A, consider draft terms of a lease agreement specific to the May Holman site that will form the basis for creation of an offer to lease document, and B, provide feedback relating to all aspects of point 4 for the consideration of attendees at said workshop. And 6, notifies the Bassendine Men's Shed Association Incorporated and Lotteries West of any decisions made.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Are there questions? Councillor. Councillor Mikichuk?
No, it's not a question.
Sorry. Okay. I have a query for the staff around, point three of both, no, point three of the officer recommendation, which is also reflected in Councillor Hamilton's foreshadowed motion, around the process of requesting the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage to reclassify the site. And what's the timing that we're anticipating that to take?
I think from memory, I think it was not onerous, a couple of weeks or a month, I think.
So my question relates to Councillor Hamilton's proposal is to have a workshop in the next couple of weeks. Would addressing Councillor Hamilton's concerns by having the opportunity to sit down and discuss all these matters delay the project if we're already waiting on that reclassification?
I'm not sure. This is in terms of point four, the recommendation.
No, point three.
I'm honestly not sure. Maybe the question should go to Mr. Hargett.
Handball to you.
It's his project.
Yeah. my take on it is that that once we've sought the approval or sought the department to make the changes to the vesting order, that would be dealt with administratively and wouldn't take a great deal of time, as Mr. Reed has indicated. When we proceed with that request is up to council in terms of a workshop to progress the project. I can't see that the two couldn't operate in parallel, and even if they were sequential, if we are to hold the workshop in the next few weeks, it's not going to be that onerous.
Why do you keep putting your hand up?
Because I won't move the officer recommendation.
Okay, all right. So Councillor Mikichuk is moving the officer recommendation. We've had a seconder with Councillor Wilson. Is there anyone against? Councillor Hamilton, would you like to open debate, Councillor Mikichuk?
Yes, certainly. As was indicated, the men's shed has been a long, ongoing project. It is much needed, and I think we would not argue with the benefits it will bring. There is much excitement, not only from the men, but people who I speak to that a men's shed is coming. So I think there is a great need and desire for the men's shed to proceed and not be delayed any further. I have heard clearly from my discussions with people and was confirmed and reiterated last night that the men are supportive of this option and that they wish it to proceed without delay. I feel that last night we had many discussions on what different configurations could or couldn't do in potentially retaining more trees. I feel like they were explored to my satisfaction. Unfortunately, I feel at this point that exploring something further may result in delays and it may not achieve the outcome we hope for or in the time frame that we wish it to have. So for that reason, I am in favour of the officer recommendation, and I would urge my colleagues on those grounds to support the recommendation as it stands.
Before you speak, Councillor Wilson, I'd just like to ask Councillor Mikichuk if she would consider an amendment to her motion. Last night when we were on site, had a brief discussion with Mr. Clive Brown, and as the men's shed have indicated, their preference is for option three. But hopefully I'm reflecting the discussion accurately, but Mr. Brown indicated that if Council endorsed option three, that the men's shed would be willing to have some workshop or meetings to be able to explore how option three could best be delivered. So there would be some potential there for some modifications to be made to the current plan, but would provide some certainty to the men's shed that the project would be going ahead. So I haven't got some wording around that, but would you be willing to consider some kind of amendment that reflected that?
Yes, certainly. Sentiment? Like the spirit and the intent of it is fine. I'm not sure about the words.
No, me neither.
Principles.
Mr. Costello is suggesting selects endorses option three in principle, but anybody else feel free to help out.
That's the case, I would draw my seconding and foreshadow that I'd move the officer recommendation as it's currently moved.
Okay. So then we can't progress anyway because you're the seconder, so it can't be considered.
Hang on, are you supporting that amendment still?
Yes, but the seconder also has to.
Yeah, the spirit of it. Am I able to ask any questions at this point? Does that I don't doubt that, that. I just want to clarify that that in fact does reflect the satisfaction of the men and doesn't feel like it holds.
Well, we can't really.
Yeah, I can't.
Clive's not giving any nods or shakes, so. Yeah. Okay, so either way, Councillor Wilson has withdrawn the support, so at the moment we're still considering the officer recommendation as written. Did you have a question, Councillor Hamilton?
I second the officer recommendation as written. I just didn't support it with anything.
Yep, exactly. So we're not considering the officer recommendation with the amendment. We're back to considering the officer recommendation as written.
Okay, thank you. Yep.
Then hold on. Councillor Hamilton's got a question.
I do have a question in that obviously we were requesting a workshop, and obviously the officers have indicated that it's 4 weeks approximately before the land could be changed to a community use. So I'm not sure I understand why we can't explore configurations during a workshop. I'm not sure I understand.
I don't think anyone said that we can't explore configurations during a workshop. It's just whether or not people support exploring other configurations during a workshop. Okay. Councillor Brown, do you have a question?
Are we in debate or are we?
No, it's questions.
Yeah.
Did you have a question or what were you raising your hand for?
I wanted to move the officer
recommendation. Okay, so we've already got that. So yeah. We've already got Councillor Mitchell has moved the officer recommendation.
Okay, so we're going back.
Councillor Wilson has seconded it.
Yeah.
So if there's no further questions, I'm assuming Councillor Hamilton is against the motion. So would you like to open debate, Councillor Mitchell? When you're
she's
ready.
She's not already. I think.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Wilson, we're on to you. Sorry, my apologies.
That's okay, it was confusing.
I appreciate that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this project, and this project's been going on for 11 years, as the men shared have indicated at the meeting tonight. I'm satisfied, having read the officer report and having spoken to several of the executive of the men shared, that they have already canvassed all of those issues and that they have come to an agreed position with staff that they are happy with. And as such, I see no reason to delay this project any further.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton? We've had Councillor Mikuchuk speak for, we've had Councillor Wilson speak for, now invitation for a speaker against, Councillor Hamilton.
As you know, I first flagged this site in January and I moved motions requesting information for May, which was not forthcoming. I asked questions at the briefing session, information of which I did not get. I brought along plans that I'd drawn up last night at the site, where it was rather dark in the end to actually, and quite windy and wet, so those potential plans were not really scrutinised by other councillors. I have actually spent the day on the phone to various entities to ascertain what can and can't be done. I know that there is potential for verge parking to be supplied, which would minimise the parking footprint on the site. I know that there is potential for the land that's adjoining, that is basically the Watercourt drain, the V section there, to potentially become parking, which again would minimise the footprint of the parking, minimise the hot surfaces. We have a Design Bassendean group where we actually talk about working with the land to create better outcomes, and yet
for the sake of 1 or 2 weeks, we're going to rush ahead. I understand that the men have waited for a while, and no one has tried harder than myself to attempt to give you a home. But I would like to explore some options, some alternative options that may deliver the best outcome possible. I can't see the harm of 1 or 2 weeks in a workshop with all parties in a situation where we're not being rained on to explore various options to ascertain if we can get a better outcome. If we can get the use of the site at the front and the rear of the site, which can potentially be utilised further down the track. Instead of having all that fill, which costs money, if we can build, and my suggestion was always to try and build to the front of the site. So with the conversations I've had today, I feel hopeful, but I am not 100% certain because some people have not got back to me this afternoon. So I would like the opportunity, simply the opportunity, to actually discuss these various options with people in this room in a week or two, as soon as the staff can organise a workshop. Now, that's all I'm asking for. The rest of the recommendation, as per the officers, has been moved in my alternative motion. The only thing I've asked for additional is point 4, where we explore some options, and point 5, where we actually look at the terms for the lease, because I do recall a conversation with one of the officers where he indicated that the men's shed would have to pay in the previous agreement from when they started building. I said, no, I don't believe that's correct. I believe you get an offer to lease first and that you only start any sort of payment scheme from when you get the keys. Now, these are details which have yet to be worked out. I cannot believe that it's so difficult to wait a couple of weeks until we have a workshop to nail down some of these details. Everything else, I want to proceed. I want the land to be converted. I want the staff to approach the state government and to actually get the land converted into community use. That will take 4 weeks. In the interim, why can't we explore options that may give us the best option, the best outlook, the best potential use for this property, not just for this group, but in 20 years' time.
Councillor Hamilton, I'm going to have to ask you to wind up. Thank you. Councillor Brown, did you want to speak for the motion?
Seeking perfection in an imperfect system, nothing, in my experience, nothing will ever be achieved. This project has been marked by procrastination and endless discussion. What concerns me is what will come from the workshop. Further delays, further procrastination. It may not be perfect, but it is a solution that generally, almost unanimously, is agreed to by the end users. Therefore, I agree with the recommendations.
Thank you. Councillor Quinton?
I'm speaking for the motion, just to be clear. We're not out of sync. Because I do want to acknowledge all of the work you have poured your heart and soul into this, Councillor Hamilton. You absolutely have. And to me, it feels like this is your masterpiece, your work of art. And it can be so that you can keep working on it forever and it will never be perfect. But these men have, in their minds, for the past 11 years, worked out where every screw is going to go, where every nut's going to go, where they want the trailer to be parked, where they want the timber to be stacked up. They know where they want to stack their chairs so they can sit down in the afternoon and have a beer. They've done all of that work, right? When they say that they want a 15 by 30 shed, we go, no problem. You have a 15 by 30 shed if you want it, because that's what you get to deserve. And I'll tell you why you get to deserve that, is because I will get through this.
You will. You can.
I know what it's like to lose someone to suicide. My brother took his life 11 years ago. And what you men will do is save lives.
One of you told me last night you had a bloke come up to you at the markets and they told you that he was just diagnosed with depression and that he was severely at a point where he was going to hurt himself and he needed your group. For men like that, every single minute and second counts. Every single second and minute counts. And you men are going to turn four bits of tin into a home for these men. And there are points where every single person in this community is going to get a benefit from the rates we are putting into this building. Every single person in this community is going to benefit from this, because wives are going to keep their husbands, sisters are going to keep their brothers, kids are going to keep their dads. Right? I only hope that when I have a moment, that's when I'm really down, because it'll happen, I get to rock up with a couple of beers and hang out with you guys, and I can't wait.
Okay, thank you. Just before I invite Councillor McShook to speak again, the staff have just pointed out that in point three, we just need to make a slight change. So at the moment, it finishes with saying reclassifying the site from public recreation to community purpose and that the vesting order be amended. We have to add in there the words "and to include the power to sublease to the men's shed." So are you happy with that, Councillor McShook?
No.
Oh, sorry, what did I say?
Just
lease. To lease, sorry. Power to lease.
Power to lease to the town.
Yes.
So the town has power to lease, yep. Sublease.
So you're happy with that, Councillor McShook? Councillor Wilson? Yes? Councillor McShook, would you like to close debate?
Sure. Yeah, thank you to everyone's contribution. I also want to acknowledge Councillor Hamilton's hard work. If it was not for her, I don't think, well, we wouldn't have this site. So I think it is really important to acknowledge that and celebrate that we are coming to a point where we're going to have a really positive outcome. I think in coming to my decision, I put the most weight on the end user and the group who tell me that they are happy with this outcome. And look, for any project, we could continue on. And at some point, I think we need to say that we are going to make a decision. And I think, Councillor Hamilton, your suggestions have merit. They are valuable. I think for me, my reservations are around the ambiguity and the uncertainty. So I want to acknowledge that, you know, there's some great ideas and that could come to fruition, but I think that there's uncertainty there which could delay the process. And for those reasons, I think it's important to support the recommendation as it stands. I would just like to acknowledge Councillor Quinton. I know that was very difficult for you, and now I'm going to cry because you know that I have worked hard in the area of suicide prevention, that it's very important. And, yeah, the men's shed will be invaluable. And I'll just finish it there.
Thank you. Emotion is a good thing. Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour, Councillor Wilson, Mikichuk, Quinton, Brown and McLennan, and against, Councillor Hamilton, and that is passed. 10.9, the Local Studies Collection Working Group. I'm not sure why we've got that on my block. We have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Quinton, seconded. Councillor Mikichuk, anyone against? All those in favour? Passed unanimously. 10.11, the Town Assets Committee meeting. So I circulated something in advance of the meeting because I noticed that there were two points.
Sorry, do we mind if we just wait?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Thanks, gents.
Thank you.
Does anyone have a tissue?
I don't.
No one does.
Thanks.
Put tissues in my drawer.
Okay.
I'll be okay. No, actually, yeah, I do. Because I needed one earlier. And I asked Councillor Wilson, he couldn't find one for me.
Okay. So I circulated something to councillors earlier because there were a couple of points that were passed at the Town Assets Committee which, for one reason or another, were absent from the officer's recommendation from the committee meeting. So
That was what I've included as point two, which was that the office extended an invitation to the managing director of Arbor Carbon and the director of the Forever Project for a future council workshop to discuss her involvement in the recent Sustainable Urban Forest Management Symposium to seek advice about the formulation of a brief for the town's urban forest strategy. And then under point five, and then a point eight, that requests officers present draft signage for council's approval seeking community feedback on improvements in Palmerston Park. So they were the two motions passed at the council meeting. And then I would also propose adding in as an amendment to point five, it says endorses the street tree vandalism policy. And this is what I think Mr. Carty was referring to earlier. With the following amendment, under the subheadings of strategy and investigation regulations enforcement, include reference to police reports being made in each instance of suspected tree vandalism. Is that a seconding or a question? Okay, so I've moved it with that amendment, seconded by Councillor Wilson. Anyone against?
No, but...
A question?
This is going a bit too fast.
Sorry.
For me to...
Have you got the sheet in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you clear with it, Amy?
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. You don't need to apologise. I read it fast because I thought you were reading along.
And I did, and I had read it. I just need to catch up.
So really, Councillor Mikichuk, it's just point two and point eight on there were omissions that were passed at the committee meeting,
okay.
So they're not anything new.
Yeah.
And then the only other addition is that amendment to the draft tree vandalism policy to reflect the discussion at the briefing about the need or the desire for police reports to be made. And I believe it sounds like Mr. Carty's already been following up on that, which is
okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Question?
I have a question regarding point four.
Of the officer
recommendation. Yeah, the officer recommendation.
Yeah.
Why are we limiting ourselves to trapping foxes?
Oh, hold on, you're on the wrong one. We're on town assets, you're on river parks.
Oh, my apologies.
Are you with, so, Councillor Brown, the sheet of paper you've got in front of you, the one
yeah.
that's loose, that has... on this.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got
thank
that.
You, back on track. Thank
Just
you.
Give you a moment to have a look at that. Okay, so we've had a mover and a seconder. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed. You against, Councillor Abbott? No, that's passed unanimously. 10-12, River Parks Committee. So you had a question, Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you. yeah, it relates to item four. I expressed my concerns at the River Parks Committee. Recommends the cage trapping program be implemented, targeting both foxes and feral cats in Bindeering and Pickering Park in the month of October, in accordance with the NACMS or NAM report recommendation. Can somebody tell me why we're limiting our trapping of foxes to October only? And I'll qualify that.
I can answer it.
Yes, please.
I'll let, of course,
okay,
the staff go first. I'm just conscious that Mrs. Stuart Dawkins isn't here.
Sorry, I've got cramp.
I'm glad that's all it is. Councillor Mikichuk, if you're able to answer as the representative from that committee, that would be very helpful.
Yeah. My understanding was that there were a few different factors, but part of it was in regards to the weaning period for perhaps, I don't know the correct terminology, but that to, in accordance with animal welfare standards and the time that foxes would be moving throughout, that period was deemed... the most appropriate.
Interesting. Yes, I do. I understand that we couldn't trap foxes during a particular period because they were lactating.
Yeah.
And therefore, the monsters that they were caring for.
Are we in debate or?
No, I'm just. It's just a question. This really concerns me.
Yeah.
That we are by adopting this policy. We are committing literally thousands of native animals to a horrible death.
Well,
can I just ask a
question,
please?
Yeah.
And then we can enter
yeah.
debate, if you like.
Yeah, the question is,
was why are we limiting fox trapping to October? I understand it's because the foxes are lactating. What is the rationale behind leaving breeding foxes at the greatest time of predation? Why are we not trapping them?
Okay, I'm happy to answer that during debate, like if we want to go there.
Can I just clarify, though, in reading the agenda of the River Parks Committee, this was recommendations from the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage as well, was it?
Yes, that they supported it, because this is a joint exercise of both the town and the department, and it's a shared project and shared responsibility.
Thank you. I just had a question. In the minutes of the meeting, it referred to illegal dumping at the Mayholmer Drive compensating basin, and I was just wondering if there was an update on that at all. If the answer's no, that's fine.
No, at this stage.
Thank you. All right, so we've had... Have we had someone move the officer recommendation? Councillor Mikichuk.
No, I'll leave it as is.
Okay.
Yes,
do we have a seconder for the officer
recommendation?
I'll second the officer recommendation. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody against? Councillor Brown?
Foxes are certainly an issue. We've all been aware of this, as are feral cats. This is a positive move to address some of those issues. I take Councillor Brown's point, and the whole reason that we are doing this is to protect our native wildlife. Preempting your questions, even feral animals have a right to a humane death, and by doing control at other times of year, the offspring starve to death. And, you know, I've been involved in ethics committees, and whether you are like feral predator or a native animal, there is still regard for welfare. NAMS are consultants in this area. We could consult many people. I feel professionally they would uphold this standard. So I can hear your concerns, and I know that it may seem counterintuitive, but again, even introduced animals have a right to a humane death. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd urge people to support the motion as it stands in respect for that.
Thank you, Councillor Mikichuk. I have little to say other than that we are very privileged to have the River Parks Committee, which has a group of people from various state government departments and the local community, many of whom are experts. And if the advice that they are giving us is that this is the best practice for managing the feral foxes in that area, then I would like to take that advice. And I support Councillor Mikichuk's, what you spoke to about humane deaths for animals. None of us want to put any creatures through unnecessary trauma. It would cause me distress if we were making a decision tonight without information from experts that would potentially increase the level of suffering of any creatures that that we are making decisions on their behalf. So I'm happy to support the recommendations of the committee that have been brought to council tonight. Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Thank you. It is a acknowledge it is a vexed question. The fact that these introduced animals are lactating, which indicates they are feeding up to between 6 and 10 pups, cute coloured little things, ensures the next generation of foxes, because they aren't being trapped and humanely dealt with. We've got to look at the other side of it. Those foxes are during this whelping period, both the bitch and the dog, predating almost 24/7 on our birds, our reptiles, our native marsupials, and a whole range of other native animals. Taking away the mother or father of those native animals
actually, because of their breeding as well, will actually lead to the very cruel and inhumane death of countless other native creatures. That's got to be considered. I understand that foxes aren't cute, cuddly things. Like I said, they are out there killing our native wildlife, ensuring the death, the cruel death of scores and scores, if not thousands, of our native animals, but without a mother or father to look after them. That's got to be considered as well. But I accept it is a difficult question. But I believe that we need to trap these things and humanely deal with them at every opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Are there further speakers? Councillor Mitchell, would you like your right of reply?
Yeah, in closing, I would just like to say I don't dispute that these animals need control, and just to say again that all sentient beings deserve a humane death, whether you're a millipede or you have fur, or it doesn't matter what you look like, it goes to humanity. And even those foxes that will be trapped have a method of a humane death. Their offspring do not. And can I remind people that it was us humans who kill animals and also partake in that, that relocated these things to a place where they didn't belong and caused this problem in the first place. They are animals that seek to survive and are just undertaking what every other creature seeks to do. So if we think about responsibility, maybe we can take some for some of the decisions and choices we've made, and also just have a respect for, you know, value. Are we more valuable than something else? And how we put value on different beings and creatures in our society. And maybe we need to rethink that, because, you know, whether you're native or you're introduced, you're something of value and you deserve a humane death. I would urge people to support the recommendation as it stands.
You are so lovely, Councillor. Okay, so all those in favour of the motion? It's Councillor McLennan, Wilson, Mukachuk, Quinton, and against Councillor Brown and Councillor Hamilton. And that is carried. 10.13, order and governance.
I have a question.
Yes, ask your question.
I won't apologise. I just, the alternative looks so different from what's here, and I was on the Audit and Governance Committee, but I don't quite understand what's happened, so I just need someone to explain.
Okay, so I might ask Mr. Costarella to give an update, especially on point one, which is about the purchasing policy. So just as some background.
Yeah.
Recently, the CEO and I attended a forum when the Welga procurement people presented about sustainable procurement. And when this came up, the question was asked whether the new policy that we put forward incorporated what was suggested through that. So in the interim, Mr. Costello has been in communication with Welga, but my understanding is that we're not at the point yet where our draft policy incorporates.
Yeah. So we're looking at reviewing the policy to ensure there's more sustainability clauses in our policies, so that's why we want to defer it at this point.
And sustainability, not just meaning environmental sustainability, but it's also economic sustainability, social sustainability, all of those aspects. So that was one reason. And then the other point, which was actually thanks to Councillor Hamilton, was the fact that the Auditor General's report on our procurement process is due anytime soon. So that would be worthwhile. The other point that you noted that's different is in relation to point two.
Mm-hmm.
So in discussion with other members of that committee, not yourself, that seems like it was a late discussion at the committee, and in the interim it has become apparent that it probably hasn't been considered as fully as it needs to be, and we're not going to achieve the outcomes we're desiring without going back and revisiting it. So that's why my alternative motion that I circulated as a proposal included referring that back to the Audit and Governance Committee so that it can be more fully considered.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
And so just back to you, Mr. Costarella. So just to confirm, Wellgut has not been able to give us the advice that we need yet.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Are there any further questions? Mr. Costarella would like me to put the committee recommendation first.
Well, if it's a deferral motion for the whole lot, it's not a problem. But if it's...
I've written an alternative motion which is slightly different. So I'll move the alternative then. The council, one, defers the decision on policy 6.14, purchasing policy, and refers it back to the Audit and Governance Committee to consider in the light of A, recommendations and feedback from Wellgo regarding sustainable procurement, and B, the findings of the Auditor General's report on procurement that is due to be released in the near future. Two, request the Audit and Governance Committee consider the scope of works and deliverables for new projects and consultancies that would be appropriate for presentation to council / committees for consideration and approval prior to release and provide recommendations to council. And three, receives a report on the meeting of the Audit and Governance Committee of 8th of August 2018. So I'll move the alternative motion. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Hamilton, is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. I'm 10-14, People Services Committee. Mr. Haggard, could I just request an update? It's kind of related, but at the moment, I believe we are recruiting for new community members for the Disability Access and Inclusion Committee because the majority of them have resigned. Is that correct? Have we had responses?
To be honest, I'm unaware. I haven't spoken with Yvonne about it in recent times.
All right. The reason that I'm asking is that if that... I know there was discussion at the beginning of the year about whether or not we should have incorporated that committee under the People Services, and I was just seeking your advice as to whether now might be an appropriate time for us to consider.
Can I just add supplementary to that response that I provided? I have been in contact. I've spoken with a number of organisations that work within the disability sector who operate here in the town and have sent out nomination forms to each of those that have expressed interest. I know there is interest in the community.
Okay. All right, so maybe that's just something we consider for future because Councillor Hamilton is a representative, maybe aware that there was only one committee member left and
yes.
we didn't have a quorum for that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question.
Councillor Hamilton.
Through the Chair, I note that some of the reports going to the People Services Committee perhaps fell into the realm of access and inclusion, but we haven't had them. So I really don't understand why the committee continues if we're actually not getting those reports and they're going to People Services. So, you know, there seems to be some confusion about what is going where. I'm also confused about... some of the projects, for instance, you know, you have a River Parks Committee which has state government representatives on it, which could have offered some insights into, for instance, the regional playground. There may be some shared responsibilities for that project between the People Services Committee and River Parks. However, it doesn't come to River Parks, hasn't come to River Parks since last year. So I'm confused about how the staff determine what goes to what committee.
Are you able to get some clarification?
Look, certainly there's been some discussions among officers as well as to what reports are appropriate for what committees. The regional playground has, as you've indicated, been to the River Parks committees in the past. And should have gone to the People Services Committee this last meeting, indeed, instead of directly to Council. That's been acknowledged as an oversight by officers. The last I consulted with Mr. Simon Stewart Dawkins with regards to the regional playground to River Parks, we discussed was there something particular that would update what had previously been provided, and we determined that wasn't the case and therefore an update report was not appropriate at that time to that committee. Certainly there has been discussions about it with officers though.
So that doesn't exactly explain to me how you determine what goes where.
particularly when you have committee members at Access and Inclusion twiddling their thumbs because there's so few reports coming to us because they're going to people services. Now, I don't mind.
So, Councillor Hamilton, Mr. Haggett, maybe you can report back to us about any nominations about disability access and inclusion. We can make a decision about the future of that committee at that time.
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess what Councillor Hamilton is saying is that she has some concerns that the reports aren't going to the committees that they should be going to in all cases, and I believe the staff have heard our concerns about that.
Certainly. Yeah, I'm uncertain as to what reports should have gone to Access and Inclusion but didn't.
Would you mind, Councillor Hamilton, if there are anything that springs to mind that you could specifically let Mr. Haggett know so that...
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. 10.21. Oh, sorry. Have we...
Hold on.
Oh, nice. Okay, so do we have a mover for the officer recommendation of the People Services Committee? Councillor Quinton, a seconder? Councillor Brown, all those in favour? Councillor McLennan, Wilson, Mikachil, Quinton and Brown and Hamilton, so that's passed unanimously. Item 10.21, that was the use of the common seal. That item is being withdrawn because the... document that it's relating to is the Swan District's licence, which I haven't actually signed yet. 10.23, implementation of council resolutions. Councillor Hamilton, there were a number that we had flagged earlier in the day.
Yep, through the chair. The first one, there is a dot point in that particular motion which referred to the new CEO conducting a review when in the position. So I can't see how that particular motion can be deleted.
So you're proposing removing RSC 1862200 from the...
The other one relating to the budget adoption has been actioned. That's a fairly large... statement, so again, I don't know how that could have been actioned.
If I may, Madam Chair, I guess the resolution was about adoption of the budget, and we've done everything coming from all the resolutions from that, all the parts of that resolution, so I'm not sure what more you want us to do. The budget's adopted, we've raised the rates, we've done the fees and charges.
The point of contention here that the projects and the activities that are listed in the budget...
I'm just curious how you determine that everything's been completed because, you know, that it is a little bit confusing when some things are marked for deletion but they actually haven't been done yet. So I'm trying to ascertain where you draw the line in the sand about when something's been completed or not.
Well, in the case of adoption, the budget council adopted the budget... And we've done everything within that resolution in adopting the budget, if you like. So there's no more outstanding items from the adoption of the budget.
So when you say the adoption of the budget, is literally those page of points that refer to how much we're going to increase the rates percentage and the fees
concessions
and so on. So they've all been applied.
Yes.
But it doesn't relate to the fact that the various projects that we've funded have been completed or...
No.
That's fine.
Just removing the first one at this point? Yeah.
Then you've got the last page, 18-61611, Simon Stewart Dawkins, River Parks Committee. Now, in the blurb there, it actually says that the report is due in November. And so I'm curious as to why you would delete that before the report's been presented to the River Parks Committee in November.
Which item?
Last page.
Page 80. The top one on the last page. Oh, 80. Okay. So we can keep that in as it goes on to November.
Yep.
So, Amy, we're removing ROC 18/61611. 18/61611.
61611.
Yep.
And the first one was 108.
ROC 18/62200.
Then the last one is more a question than anything else because I'm just not sure. 91087, Graham Haggett,
I'm curious, if committees are disbanded, committees and working groups are disbanded once an election's taken place, I'm curious why the regional playground working group will report to People's Services Committee, because obviously the other committees have all been disbanded, so I'm curious about that one.
Yeah, so the resolution was to establish the working group. The working group has been in place since that time, has met periodically rather than systematically or regularly. If the working group was to be convened again in relation to the regional playground project, that the outcome of that deliberation would then be presented to the People's Services Committee.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that being deleted. I just didn't understand it.
Councillor Brown, were you happy with the item, the bottom one, on page 78?
No, there's actually two. ROC, the one previous to that, information from the City of Canning, is included in the town's purchasing policy adopted by council this month. I just can't see reference to that.
So that was the matter that went to Audit Committee, and we've now deferred that matter back to Audit. We can leave that in if you want.
Well, leave it in, please, because it hasn't been adopted.
Okay, so that's RSC 17 slash, oh, sorry, 1757461, or the one below?
No, that one. Yeah.
Okay. Did you get that?
17/57461.
That's correct. Yeah.
And in respect to the other one, thank you. I still have some concerns. The intent of the motion was to conduct an audit of streets, major thoroughfares in the town of Bassendean, which could be included roundabouts which prevent right angle collisions, which the major cause, one of the major causes of fatalities and serious debilitating injury, right angle collisions. Roundabouts obviously prevent those, so it was a twofold. It was road safety. They're used extensively in other states, and some of the other councils have adopted them. You cannot speed through an intersection.
So, Councillor Brown, are you asking staff to revisit?
Yes, but this is the second time, so I need to actually qualify it. In each of those roundabouts, there's an opportunity to plant a big tree that doesn't interfere with services underneath and doesn't generally interfere with services overhead. Also, there are really well-designed chicanes. South Perth is an example of where they've been adopted. People say you can't plant a tree in the middle of the road. Of course you can. South Perth are an example of that. In some of their leafy-lined streets, they have trees planted in the middle of the road in particularly designed chicanes that are intended to slow cars down. They're not vertical, they don't make noises, and they actually work. Despite what people think that they might be, they cause head-on collisions, they don't.
Okay, so that's...
increase our tree canopy, improve road safety. So I'd like that to come out. And I'd like to just emphasise there needs to be an audit.
Can I just clarify? Because I think that maybe the confusion is that an audit has been done about the existing roundabouts, but what you're asking for is to audit, to explore where there is the potential for new roundabouts and chicanes and so on where there can be plantings.
It was actually specific in the notice of motion, and there are road safety grants available for us to achieve that if we can prove that we're improving road safety. Plus it has the added benefit of greatly improving our tree canopy. We're having struggling with where we can plant trees at the moment. This is a great idea if it's pursued.
Okay, it might be worthwhile having a chat with Mr. Cardy just to make sure that everyone's on the same page. But I think for now we're removing RSC 17/54543. Is everybody happy with the other items remaining in? Okay, do we have a mover then for the officer recommendation with those amendments? Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Mikichuk, all those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Moving on to 11.1.
Hamilton, did you have your hand up?
She did.
I put my thing up.
Okay.
I think that's what it deserves.
11.1, notice of motion by Councillor Quinton. Are there any questions on this motion relating to road network priorities, Walter Road East and Lord Street? Okay, so Councillor Quinton has moved the motion. I'll second the motion. Is there anybody against the motion? All those in favour? passed unanimously. 11.2, notice of motion from Councillor Mikichuk in relation to weed management. Are there any questions on this notice of motion? Okay, so we've got a mover with Councillor Mikichuk. Councillor Quinton has seconded it. Anybody against? All those in favour? Passed unanimously. Okay, so now we're moving on to item 12, announcements of notice of motion for the next meeting. Okay, so there are none. Item 13, which is confidential business, so I have a mover to go behind closed doors. Councillor Mikichuk seconded. Councillor Brown, all those in favour? Passed unanimously. So thank you to members of the public.